visit to the monastery of São Gio and the medieval village. The village of São Gio, located in the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur region in southeastern France, stands out for its rich historical and cultural heritage. Among the many things to see, the famous São Gio Monastery, founded in the 17th century, stands out. Walking around the perimeter of the esplanade, you can almost touch the sky and dive into a fascinating history where the serenity of the Franciscan friars merged with the magnificence of Baroque art. One of the jewels of religious tourism and an arrival or stopover point for your personal pilgrimage, São Gio reveals itself as a pearl set in the green valleys bordering the Mercantour Park, ready to offer you an experience that goes beyond a simple visit, transporting you to another time and dimension. How to get to São Gio? To get to São Gio Monastery from the Le Girandol farmhouse. Still not familiar with our farmhouse, discover our vacation apartments in Diano Marina. You need to get on the A10 highway towards Ventimiglia and continue for about 50 kilometers until the exit for Ventimiglia. After taking the exit, you need to follow the signs for the SS20 State Road toward Tenda. This stretch of road, about 45 kilometers long, leads directly to São Gio. Once in the village, the road signs will lead toward the monastery of São Gio. Given that it is not possible to access the monastery by car, we recommend parking near the village center and completing the last part of the route on foot. The history of the monastery of São Gio, São Gio Monastery, represents a Franciscan heritage rooted in centuries of history. Founded as a convent, it has established itself over time as an important center of spirituality and meditation. In 1633, the group of Recollect Franciscans established the foundations of what would become the Monastery of São Gio. To facilitate the completion of construction, the local administration offered the Chapel of St. Bernard and adjoining land, located a short distance from the town. The building process received further impetus thanks to funding obtained by the friars, which enabled the completion of the convent buildings by 1662. Over time, the monastery experienced several significant changes. After being dedicated to literary activity in 1794, the building was occupied by French troops who decreed the removal of the friars. Later converted into a hospice, the monastery was returned to the Franciscans in 1824, only to be abandoned again in 1903, following the passage of a law on religious congregations. In the years that followed, the building was put to various uses until 1967, when it became the property of the state. The latter undertook restoration work between 1969 and 1988, after which the Franciscans returned for a brief period. After their final departure, the monastery opened its doors to visitors, transforming itself into a place of recollection and inspiration for writers, keeping its original spirit alive. The monastery, architecture, and tour route. The monastery of São Gio, along with that of Simies in Nice, represents one of the most significant examples of Baroque monastic architecture in the region. Its structure reflects the typical pattern of Franciscan buildings erected in the same time frame in southern Piedmont and Liguria, showing how this architectural tradition was consistent in different locations. A visit to the monastery, lasting an average of 45 minutes, is also accessible to people with disabilities. Not to be missed is the outdoor garden, carefully landscaped to the smallest detail and usable through the side walkways, where it is possible to relax on chairs and benches, immersing oneself in the tranquility of the place. The church. The Church of Notre Dame des Miracles, dating from the 600s, features a single nave under cross vaults, flanked by four side chapels. Between 1760 and 1762, painted medallions and stucco moldings were added by Calderari of Lugano, enriching the decoration. The chapels to the north are dedicated to Saint Anthony of Padua and Saint Joseph, while those to the south feature works depicting Saint Peter of Alcantara, Saint Francis of Assisi, and Saint Clare. The high altar, an example of understated elegance in polished walnut, is embellished by polychromy limited to the niches and gilding on the statues. Centrally stands the image of the Virgin of Miracles, flanked by Saint Anthony of Padua and Saint Pascal Bailon. Above stand the figures of God the Father, Archangel Gabriel, and the Virgin of the Annunciation, surmounted by the Franciscan coat of arms. The choir, separated from the nave by an ancona, retains the original polished walnut stalls, emphasizing the distinction between friars and lady during religious services. The Hall of Penance. This space retains 17th century elements, including wood paneling and a washstand, reflecting the continuity of its confessional function through the centuries. The sacristy, surrounded by walnut and whitewashed window frames from 1772, the sacristy houses two 17th century reliquary busts, guarding the convent's rich spiritual heritage. The refectory, adorned with 17th century frescoes depicting Franciscan virtues, the refectory bears witness to the friars' communal life, with walnut tables and a passerelle that connects directly to the kitchen. The large fresco of Our Lady in Glory, along with St. Francis, St. Anthony of Padua, and the allegory of charity, dominates the back wall next to the original furniture from 1667. Here, daily life followed the rules of the Franciscan order between periods of fasting and times of sharing, without the obligation of silence during meals, unlike other monastic traditions. The garden. The monastery garden, accessible from the terrace, preserves its original terraced structure, with elements such as ponds, washhouses, orchards, and vine arbors, revealing the friar's self-sufficiency and harmony with nature. The cloister, the heart of the convent, the rectangular cloister is delineated on one side by the church and on the other sides by convent buildings. Baroque frescoes from 1760, ornate sundials and episodes from the life of St. Francis in the lunettes of the vaults offer spaces for deep reflection and contemplation. The layout of the buildings and the art decorating them tell the story of a devout and artistically rich community, highlighting the spiritual and cultural continuity of the monastery through the centuries. The reenactment of ancient local chants. Unique moments of connection with history are offered through the reenactment of ancient local chants, projected in Italian in the choir, penance, and sacristy rooms. These projections, lasting a total of 13.5 minutes, invite visitors on a journey through the darkened rooms, lit in turn to reveal paintings and tell stories through voice and image, creating a deep connection between the monastery's cultural heritage and its visitors. A refuge of creativity, the writer's residence, the transformation of spaces once dedicated to monastic life into a retreat for creativity has breathed new life into the Saorgio convent. Rooms that used to be reserved exclusively for monks now welcome writers, translators, screenwriters, and music composers, offering them an inspired and inspiring place to live. Maintaining the community character of the convent, guests stay in the friars' former cells and share common spaces such as the hall, library, kitchens, and showers, thus preserving the contemplative atmosphere that fosters creativity. The project, supported by the Centre des Monuments Nationaux, aims to promote artistic creation while safeguarding the uniqueness of the place. Saorgia thus becomes a theater for cultural encounters between artists and the local community, including debates, public readings, and educational activities in the region's schools and libraries. The Les Fioretti Association, collaborates in organizing events such as exhibitions, concerts, debates, and seminars, enriching the cultural offerings with publications and writing and translation workshops. The medieval village of Saorge Saorgio stands majestically on a promontory overlooking the Roya Valley, naturally protected by rock formations to the northwest and open to the south. Characterized by a primitive core located at the highest point, the village underwent a drastic transformation in 1465 due to a fire that destroyed much of it, including the original church. Subsequently, an expansion of the village took place both downward with the construction of a new wall and beyond the boundaries of the pre-existing walls, beginning in the 17th century. The architecture of Saorge, with its narrow streets meandering down the slope and numerous stairways serving as shortcuts, evokes the image of a Tibetan village, offering a unique insight into medieval building techniques and community life, Baroque art in the Roya and Vermenagna valleys. The influence of Baroque art is evident in the Roya and Vermenagna valleys, where Baroque churches and chapels dating from the 17th and 18th centuries dot the landscape. These structures, along with 19th century neo-Baroque decorations and older buildings in late Romanesque and Alpine Gothic styles, enriched with Baroque altars and altarpieces during the Counter-Reformation, testify to the cultural richness of the region. The cross-border Baroque itinerary allows you to explore these architectural marvels, the result of the collaboration of artists who moved between Nice, Genoa, and Turin. The history of the territory. The history of the Vermenagna Roya territory is rich in events. Marked by the occupation of the Saracens in the 10th century and the subsequent religious renewal brought about by the Benedictine abbeys. Subsequent centuries saw the Marquises of Saluzzo and the Counts of Ventimiglia fortify the territory, leaving today significant traces of that period, such as remains of fortifications, chapels, bell towers, and narrow streets with religious symbolism. Original art and the International Organ Festival. The monuments and ancient musical instruments of the Roya and Vermenagna valleys, especially organs built before the division of the Savoy states in 1860, represent a heritage of inestimable value. Organs from Fontaine, Braille-sur-Roya, and Rocavion, dating back to the 18th century, are the focus of the International Organ Festival, an annual event that celebrates the region's musical tradition through concerts that highlight the specificity of these instruments. What to see in Saorgio. Undoubtedly not to be missed is a visit to the village. What to do and what to see. Saorgio offers various opportunities for a stop, with several bars and restaurants welcoming visitors. These spaces allow you to savor the life of the village, immersing yourself in the lively atmosphere that characterizes the village, a witness to a rich and complex history that spans eras and cultures. Here are suggestions for visiting Saorgio: architecture and traditions. Saorgio is distinguished by an urban fabric that reflects Ligurian and Piedmontese influences, testifying to a deep connection with past traditions. This bond is even more highlighted by Saorgio's history, which saw the town pass under several dominions, the last of which was the Kingdom of Sardinia, until the Plombieres agreements in 1860, when it was ceded to France. La Fontana de Mage. Upon entering Saorgio, one immediately encounters the Fontana de Mage, a structure that appears to have served the functions of a wash house and fountain. Although there is little specific information about this element, its presence introduces one to the atmosphere of the village, reflecting local architecture and traditions that resonate with those of the neighboring towns of Pigna and Triora, l'Église Saint-Sauveur de Saorge. Continuing to the heart of the village, one reaches the Église Saint-Sauveur, which dominates the square with its historic inscription in Ligurian Chiasa da Gaegia. Rebuilt in 1498 after a fire, this basilica-like church stands on sloping ground and features distinctive architectural elements, such as the Chapel of the Penitence Blancs. The introduction of the Baroque style and later decorations enriched the church, making it a symbol of Saorgio's rich historical and cultural stratification. Historical memory. Below the church, a series of paintings commemorates Saorgio's struggle against Nazi fascism, with special reference to the partisan resistance and the liberation of the territory. The annual commemoration of the death of six young Italian partisans on October 24, 1944, is a moment of reflection on recent history and Franco-Italian friendship, inextricably linking Saorgio to the historical events that marked Europe in the 20th century.